Oh my God, what if the building burns tonight? I'll be like suspect number one.
You will.
I got to have an alibi tonight. Do you guys ever think that, like, okay, I need an alibi? It's like, don't you ever think like that? All right, if anything happens tonight, at least I can say, I've got to keep this ticket stub, you know, so I can say where I was. I think that way all the time.
No, I don't think like that.
Maybe I read too many true crime books.
You spend a lot of time thinking of an alibi?
No, I spend a lot of time. I make sure every time I go out, if I'm by myself, that somebody will remember me. Okay. Like, for example, if I'm at a bookstore, I take a dump in the corner. Because I might need someone later to be able to say, oh, yeah, I remember that guy. He's the guy that took the dump in the home improvement section.
That's a real problem.
Why?
It's called encopresis.
Yeah, I have encopresis.
Yeah, you're suffering from spontaneous, involuntary encopresis.
Okay, I have that problem, but you know what problem I won't have?
What?
I'll never be wrongly convicted of a murder. Okay?
I think I'd rather be wrongly convicted.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Of having encopresis? Okay, we have a new topic for the show.
Involuntary encopresis?
We have a new topic for the show. This is fascinating. This is the kind of stuff I was hoping to get into.
Yeah.
Here's your choice in life. You do 15 to 25 years hard time, or you have a lifetime of involuntary encopresis.
It's impossible to choose.
Mm-hmm. Well, welcome to my life.
Well, thank God Andrea is here.
Hey, Andrea, what's your show tonight?
YOY is coming right up.
Yeah.
I have my grandma on tonight. We're going to be talking about unexplainable phenomena. And we have this surprise birthday party planned for one of our listeners.
Oh, now she's being funny.
Those are good grounds, Andy.
Well, Andy, let's release Zach and
the hounds,
Preston, and they've been good sports.
No, let's try Jeff one last time. Come on, I feel
let's
lucky.
Leave a voicemail this time.
Yeah. Well, okay. We'll all leave a voicemail this time.
Okay.
We'll all yell surprise. We'll wish him happy birthday. How long is the voicemail? Like 60 seconds?
Who knows?
Well, maybe it's a voicemail he'll keep. Maybe it'll mean something to him. How old is he?
27.
Oh, it's a great age.
Okay. Here we go.
Okay, here we go. On three. Surprise!
Surprise!
Hey. Happy birthday, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff. Happy birthday, buddy. Hey, Jeff, it's your old pals, Andy and Ken from WFMU. We wish you had picked up the phone. We could have celebrated with you in person.
But, Andy.
Jeff, you're just the kind of guy that would miss your own surprise party.
Yeah, Jeff.
And Jeff, Andy's going to send you a birthday party, birthday present anyway.
The most popular music in the world, Jeff. You're going to receive it in the mail.
Which you can exchange for an Amazon credit.
Because we love you, buddy. We know that 27 is going to be a great, great year for you. I've never been wrong. I've said that only four times in my life to people, predicting a great year, and I've never been wrong.
Well.
All right, Jeff. Have a good one.
That's not just from us. That's from Zach, Josh, Preston, Ari, Joe. We're all here for you, buddy. Woo. We've got your back, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right, guys? We're lifting a glass to you.
Happy birthday. Love you. Bye, Jeff.
Yeah, bye, Jeff.
Bye, Jeff.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. See you later, Ken.
Yeah.
Thank you, Andy.
Yeah, thank you. Worst show this year or worst show ever?
That really is two in a row.
What do you think? Yeah.
You know, the irony is the ravine is getting filled up with trains, and soon we'll be able to walk across. We may have filled the canyon with crashed trains.
It's called Dead Air Gulch.
Again, it's called Dead Air Gulch. Well, I should have known this wouldn't work. I should have known we didn't have a Ken Friedman chance in heaven. Oh, boy. I know what you're thinking. You can go to hell, Ken. Oh, I tried to warn him. He never listens. You're so transparent. He never listens. He's impossible to work with. He never listens.
This is WFMU.
He doesn't respect me. He doesn't respect the years I put in on the radio to know a good idea from a bad one. What am I going to do with him?
WMFU Mount.
What am I going to do if I can't steer him away from an idea that I know is bad, that is manifestly doomed? What kind of show can we put on? I don't know how much longer I can do this.
Online at WFMU.org and in Rockland County.
Rockland County. Thanks for listening, Rockland County.
We love you, Rockland County. Stay tuned for YOY with Andrea and Grandma Phyllis.
All right, this is WFMU. You're listening to YOY. I'm Andrea Salenzi. I'm here in the studio with my grandma, Phyllis. Hey, Grandma.
Hi, Andy.
So, why are we here live again? Why am I doing live shows?
Why are you doing live shows? It may be because you have a new job.
That's right.
And you don't have time to do all the recording in advance.
That's right.
So you're here on your two legs, well, actually on your tush right now, sitting and interviewing your grandmother because you had nobody better?
No, I'm relying. While my show's in transition, I am relying on all my favorite regulars. So you are one of those favorite regulars, and we're even going to have a live show with Randy coming up on May 7th, which I'm excited for.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be great also.
I'm going to make you call into that one.
Okay.
So how have you been?
I have been, well, every day I wake up in the morning, I'm a little bit surprised and pleased. And then I think what I'm going to do for the day to get into trouble or whatever. But I'm fine. I've just finished the Passover business. And
we had a lovely Passover for a lot of my friends
this past
weekend.
I had never really done a Seder for people who were not Jewish. But these people were bright and wonderful and asked great questions. And we tried to contemporize the story. Wickedness, evil people are still with us. And we don't have to look too far to find them. So that was the lesson.
What'd you think of my friends?
They were wonderful. And there was two guys. You really have good taste in friends. They were all great, but Chris was absolutely marvelous. I guess I have a little connection to him because he is of his relatives were Malaysian, and you know my dear friend Jamila is a Malaysian, and I've been to Malaysia, and I loved it and all that kind of stuff. And he brought me, he was most sensitive in bringing me some Passover goodies. And
folks know Chris from a recent episode of YOY. It's the Rebranding the Friend Zone episode. So that's a little bit of YOY trivia for you if anyone's been listening that closely.
Well, he's a lovely young man. And then the young man you were with, Michael, tall, very tall.
That's the guy I'm dating.
And very nice. He is, he's almost too good for you.
Aw.
But not I hate to put the kiss of the mark of anything or to put the kibosh on it. But
so you're saying he should break up with me?
Well, he better not. I'll kill him. And you better not break up with him either because I'll kill you. He's got empathy. He's got brightness. He's got...
he puts up with us talking about him on... my radio show, so that's something.
Yeah, he's really a nice guy. And I think he survived meeting the grandmother.
Yeah, I was really on the edge about, inviting him. And because I just think meeting the family is important. Because I don't want you to get too attached to him. I don't want him to get too attached to you. So I think, we're just going to keep getting to know each other. And things are going really well.
Yeah.
So that was Passover. Oh, and you met my friends Laura and Danny. You met my friends Laura and Daryl. You met Priya, who came on and told the story about a dinner date that she went on. Pretty much everyone around the table has been on YOY in some way over the years.
Priya comes. She's an Indian girl. The dot Indian, not the Indian, American Indian.
She didn't have a dot, though.
No, she doesn't. No, she doesn't, but her mother does. And she was expressing prejudice that has been leveled against her. So all of us, Jewish, Muslim, black, brown, as she called herself, we've all experienced it. And that's why I think the Seder story... as we contemporized it, we were sitting there, and we were like living examples of it. And it pleased me mightily.
Well, it was a great time, and thank you so much for hosting all of my friends. It was really great.
Next year again.
Yeah, absolutely.
If not in Jerusalem.
Upper East Side.
Upper East Side.
So we came up with a great topic for tonight. Now, I have heard the stories that we are going to be sharing a bunch of times, but I plan to hear them with new ears tonight with you. These are stories of your supernatural experiences, your out-of-this-world experiences, things that have happened to you that you can't explain.
Oh, absolutely. The one, there may have been episodes when I was young, didn't know about it or think about it, but... the first one that was unbelievable was your grandpa, Gil Rosenzweig, and I were returning from a trip to Israel. It wasn't our first trip. It was, and that was about 30 years ago. And we had left. It was during Christmas, I had talked my school into letting me take an extra week off without pay, of course. And the poor little
so
deaf kids were going to get along without me.
You guys are on the plane.
We're on the plane coming home. And Grandpa was dozing, which I always resented. And I sort of went...
What's wrong with him dozing on the plane?
Because I can't, you see. And he just had this wonderful ability to fall asleep, and I was a little jealous. But anyhow, I had gone into some kind of doze myself and woke up very upset, and I nudged him with my elbow, and I said, "Wake up, Gilbert." And he said, "What?" I said, "I have had a vision." And he said, "Go back to sleep." I said, "Gilbert, I'm telling you, I had a vision. The heating system in the house broke down. The pipes froze, and then they burst. And our house has been flooded from stem to stern. That's what we're going home to." And he said, "Go to sleep."
Is this something that you have done before where you've said, "I had a vision"?
No. No. Not really. I didn't have a vision as to the sex of my children that I was carrying. You'd think I would have known that. No. As a mature adult, I do not remember any of that. Well, anyhow.
But is it possible you had another vision and it proved wrong? And then you just forgot you ever had a vision?
Maybe. But you're not letting me tell this story.
Okay.
So be quiet. Anyhow, we landed. We took a taxi to your Aunt Sheila's apartment in Brooklyn because she had charge of our golden retriever, Sundance. We got to the apartment, went in, and there was no dog. So I said to Sheila, "Where's Sundance?" And she said, "Oh, he's next door playing with little Leo, a teeny little rat-like dog."
And why was
Well, why isn't he here? And she said, "Well, Mom, if he were here and he saw you, he'd know he was going home. But he's not going home. And you're not going home." And I said, "Why are we not going home?" And she said, "Well, while you were away, the heating system broke down, the pipes froze, they burst. They flooded the house from stem to stern, including in the closets, and there's a huge gaping hole in your kitchen down into the basement." And I laughed. And maybe God was being good to me, or somebody was being good to me, because I was like half prepared for it, and it happened, which was, I guess, better than going into total hysterics. And... yes, we went, and we saw the damage, and we spent about a week staying with friends out there in Bayshore, and the rebuilding process eventually had to start. It was quite a disaster.
Wait, can we just back up? Tell me about the moment where Sheila told you the news one more time.
I laughed. Grandpa just stood there like...
I just installed a sound effect on my computer.
Oh, thanks.
So now we can tell it with a little more drama.
Oh, okay, if you want to do that. But it was... even what it led up to was interesting in that, yes, we had insurance to repair the damage, but I sat there for about a month pondering whether we just repair and then maybe sell the house or repair and go into a major remodeling.
Got it. So what do you think that premonition was about? Where do you think it came from?
I don't know. I can't say God came and told me because I'm not sure God bothers with the little things. He's not doing too good with a lot of the big things, too. But is there something to life? I don't know. And I didn't credit it with anything other than it was just something that I knew. And I can't say I would have been disappointed if the house had been intact, but it wasn't as much of a shock. It was like I had gotten, you know, this pre-warning.
You're saying you don't think it was God.
No.
You think there's something more to this world. What do you think is more to this world that would have told you that?
Well, it's not in this world. It's not extraterrestrial. I'm not a theologian. I can't really explain it. I don't think it was angels or devils. But there is something that gives me a particular faith that, let's say, death isn't the end. It's the end of life as we know it.
What does that have to do with you knowing that your pipes burst?
It's the same. Whatever spirit or evanescence or whatever happens, there is something that you can get messages somehow if you are tuned to it. And maybe the night that I got this message, because I was dozing and I was in sort of a fugue state, a kind of a relaxed state, maybe I could hear this, where at other times in my life, maybe there was a message coming, but I didn't get through because of all the static all around me. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just have a very large question mark, and I have not got a positive negative, right, about any of this. I'm keeping an open mind.
We want to hear your stories of pipes bursting and you knowing that they burst. We want to hear the stories of strange coincidences in your life that you still don't have explanations for. Tell me and my grandma Phyllis all about it. The number to call is 201-209-9368. And we're also checking out your stories on the WFMU playlist page, WFMU.org. Nick the Bard is here, call screening for us, and we really want some stories. We want to try to make sense of what this is all about.
I don't know if you can make sense out of something like that. Theologians and philosophers have been trying for how many thousands of years to make sense of any of this. And I just accept what was. And, well, this lovely grandfather of yours died. And actually, he died a very gentlemanly death, as if death can be gentlemanly. And a few years after that, after I had decided to move into the city, I had befriended a woman, and she, in a bereavement group, I should say, and we became friends, and she met a guy. She was dating him, and where Rhoda and I traveled around the world together and stuff like that. Now there was a third person, so she decided we needed a fourth person, somebody for me. And one evening when I was out visiting with her, she took me upstairs and showed me something on her computer, and it was a dating service, a senior dating service. And I said, oh no, please, let's not do this. And she said, I'm not letting you out of your seat. You're going to read these ads. And I did. The ads from the women, oh my God, they were beautiful. They were blonde. They were slim. They were tall. They were rich. And they liked long moonlit walks on sandy beaches. And the men were God's delight for women. They could drive at night all kinds of terrific things. And I read this. I said, go away. I am not interested. I can't do this. And she said, I'm not letting you out of your chair until you do.
That's a good friend.
So I sat there at her computer, and I wrote, 65-ish, plumpish, Jewish. Lives in New York City. Non-New Yorkers need not apply. Clicked it. And I was done. I got up and I thought, there is nobody going to respond to this. So leave me alone. Well, actually, by the time I got into the city, the beginning of the week, there were people who responded. And it was, you know, via the computer, and varying sorts applied. And I learned quickly to weed them out. And like the gun collector.
Yep.
And hunter. Ugh.
And the guy said he wanted to make it with an older woman.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. One wanted to know what it would be like to make it with a grandmother. So we didn't go for that one. But the following week, a note came through, will I do? I am a native New Yorker, but I have just moved across the river to New Jersey. And he seemed pleasant enough. And so we corresponded, and turned out he also was an engineer, sort of like Gil, and seemed pleasant enough. And I said, well, I only have one available date, and then I'm going to California. Yeah, I was really very fussy about it. Set up the date, had a fail-safe. I had a couple of my friends worked in the neighborhood of the restaurant we were going to go to, etc. And if I didn't like him, well, I have to meet my daughter for dinner, and then we have opera. But we really did honestly have opera that night. And met the guy. Perfectly lovely, pleasant man. I got the thumbs up from my friends. And I said goodbye to him, and I said, I'll be back in January. And in January, I got an enormous bouquet of flowers delivered to me from FTD and a lovely note. And of course,
that was not product placement, just to clarify, everyone.
No, but it's truth. Could have been any floral delivery. Okay. But
yes.
He didn't just pick up the flowers at the local Christie's either. Yeah. And so I called him and I thanked him. And he came in and we had a date. We had theater. He picked me up at my house. We got into a taxi. And the man said, well, we're off like a herd of turtles. I was, oh, there go your sound effects. And I was,
Why is that an important thing that he said right then?
My spine just tightened up. I turned to him and I said, Saul, why did you say that? And he said, I don't know. I never say that. And why are you asking? He asked me. I said, well, my husband Gilbert said that every time we got in the car with the kids. And I took that as a direct message from above or wherever they're floating around. I think my mother had her hands in this one also, that this guy was sent to me. I could hear my mother saying, it's okay, guys. She's had enough years as a widow. It's time that she moves on, yada, yada. And Saul got presented to me. And I married him a year later.
He was an incredible husband for you and a grandfather to me.
Yes.
But I just want to, let me just ask you some questions real quick.
Sure.
How old was your first husband? What year was he born?
He was born in 1929. And he died when he was 65.
What year was Saul born?
1925.
So they were born within 5 years of each other.
Right.
Where were they both raised?
Saul was raised in Manhattan, and Gil was raised in Brooklyn.
Is it an impossible thing that two men within 5 years of each other who watched the same television shows, you know, raised
families. In those years. Come on.
Whatever. They had the same cultural experiences in their life. Isn't it possible that they would both happen to know this phrase, we're off like a herd of turtles, and find it appropriate when they're with you to say that?
No. Not possible. I absolutely deny it. Because most people have never even heard the expression, we're off like a herd of turtles.
But what if Saul turned out to be a giant jerk and that was just like a false flag? We would have forgotten that story. You're like, that story is important to us because Saul proved to be such an important person in both of our lives.
See, I knew from that message that he was sent to me.
You didn't know from the FTD flowers, the choice to go out to the theater, the comfort that you felt, the way he smelled.
I deserved the flowers. I mean, I was a lovely, charming first date. You know, I of course I deserved the flowers.
All right. I just want to say that this doesn't seem like totally impossible that this happened to me, but it does become a wonderful memory.
Yes, it does.
On line one, we have Robert from the Bronx. Welcome to YOY, Robert.
Hello. Well, I used to commute home from Columbia U with a classmate named Emil, and sometimes we would ride up from 96 to 135th Street on the 3 just to avoid the crowds and then get off and wait for a 2. And we were doing that one time, and he was telling me a science fiction story about, for some reason, people all started wanting to do the same thing at the same time until government had to ration things to prevent crowds in one place and absences in another. And just after he got finished telling me that story, we noticed the train went through. It was packed. We couldn't get on it except for the last car, which was absolutely empty. So we cracked up. Then we got on the next 2 train, and it was being held in the station for quite some time. And he said, well, they're probably just waiting for one more person to get on. One more person entered the car, they closed the doors, and we were off. Okay. Then, as we were on the L, he noticed there was a slight gap in the closure of one of the doors. He pointed it out and said, you know, somebody ought to come and fix that. As soon as he got done saying that, someone did indeed come in and worked on it to fix it. This was getting rather spooky to me. We got to East 180th Street. Now, he had the choice. I had to change to the 5 to get home. He had the choice of either riding one more stop on the 2 or changing to the 5. And although he usually changed to the 5, he said, today I think I'll change the 2. I think I'll stay on the 2. I think I'll get there faster. Even though there was ostensibly a 5 train waiting in the center track of the platform. Okay, I got off to change to that, but that train never opened its doors.
Hmm.
And eventually it pulled out without taking on any passengers.
The train to
nowhere.
And I
had a long wait before eventually a 5 came in. So that was his hot streak, and I was there witness it over 40 years ago.
Why do you think you still remember that story?
Wouldn't you?
You're talking to Doubting Thomasina here.
Doubting Thomasina.
You think I'm making it up?
No. She thinks she just doesn't think that there's...
I just feel like out of all the train rides, of course, the probability says that some will have phenomenal coincidences all in a row. I feel like, you know, it's stacked for me and it's stacked against me sometimes, but mathematically, that's supposed to balance out like that.
Hmm. Well, okay. Well, I could present you with other synchronicities from my life, but I'll leave that at that one because one was especially a hot streak.
Oh, yeah.
So what do you think is going on? And like, if this is a message from the universe, what is that message for you?
Oh, well, I never thought of it in those terms. I'd say the message was, hey, follow Emil the rest of that day, and if he places any bets, bet with him.
So wait, why don't you think of, what terms do you think of it in, if you don't think of it as a message from the universe?
Oh. Let's see. I guess I gave it the name Hot Streak. That's how I've been referring to it ever since. I haven't told that story in quite a while, but I remember first coming up with that name, a hot streak. What do I think of it as? Well, that's the thing. The late Robert Anton Wilson said that the universe is funny, not only in the strange but also in the ha-ha sense. And he's right.
Yeah, I like that.
Right.
Great call, Robert. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Have a great night. We're taking calls tonight at 201-209-9368. We want to hear your stories of supernatural experiences, things that you cannot explain, hot streaks, moments when the universe is acting funny. And we are also taking your comments on the playlist page at WFMU.org. You like that one, Grandma? That was a good story?
Yeah. I think everybody has stories like that. I just nurture mine, and what can I tell you? They were very comforting to me, and there were people who asked me, if you loved your first husband so much, how could you even think of loving somebody else? And that's the other wonderment of it all, is that I never stopped loving Gil, but that I could still, with a full heart, love Saul, take on his family, and love his family too.
Do you think of the herd of turtles moment as a sign, a blessing from Gil?
Yes. I really do.
I'm going to tell you a story about a coincidence in my life that I think is just a coincidence.
Okay.
So a few months ago, I was at a conference, and I met a nice guy, and he was a filmmaker. He just finished a film with his ex-wife, whose name was, she had a really unique name, Penny. And we were at a bar, and he said, I want to take you out. He didn't even live in New York City. He's like, I just want to take you out. I'm going to fly to the city next weekend. We're going to go on a date. And I said, I don't know. That seems like a lot. He's like, I want to go to the city anyways. And there's this award conference, this awards that I've been invited to. And I was on the edge, but I'm going to go. And we got closer to the date. And I got cold feet. And I felt like there was a lot of pressure for this date. And I wasn't sure how interested I was. And I backed out. That night of the awards, the guy that I'm now dating matched with a woman on the dating app Tinder, and they met up after she'd gotten back from an awards ceremony. Turns out she was the ex-wife of the guy who I met in Virginia. And then Mike and I were sitting on our first date a couple months later, and I said, what? It was Penny? I can't believe it. So it seems like a coincidence to me. It seems like we're just a small world, single people, cultural, interesting people, whatever. It doesn't seem like it's a sign from the universe. It just seems like mathematically, of course, that happened.
I don't know. I think somehow don't talk to me about mathematics anyhow, but that the mathematics can be finagled somehow. But
is that random, though?
Well, I'll tell you another funny thing. You know, there's an old joke. If two Jewish people meet up from opposite coasts, within 10 minutes, they will have found mutual relatives. They call it Jewish geography.
These people were not Jewish.
Well, no, yeah. but I'm sure it happens with other people also. But that's one of the jokes that we always have, that if you talk with somebody long enough, you're going to find out that you know you have somebody in common. And
yeah, no, that's true. Facebook, whatever. Okay, line one. Joining us now is Mark from Stone Ridge. Welcome to YOY.
Well, hi. Thanks for having me.
Do you have a story of a crazy coincidence in your life?
One that I've never forgotten. Yes, I graduated about 40 years ago from Manhattan School of Music. And I didn't know what to do with my life after graduation, so I decided I was going to hop freight trains cross country. And I didn't want to do it alone, so I put an ad up in the youth hostel down in the village. Met a woman. The next day we took off. We went up to Montreal. And then traveled across Canada. Anyway, woke up in Calgary, and realized I didn't particularly like this person, and I really wanted to be traveling by myself. And I told her so, and we had a really nasty falling out, and she said, you know, goodbye, the hell with you. And I walked up to the highway, and I was really, really scared. I didn't know where I was going. I had no money in my pocket. I didn't know what I was doing. And I'm not a religious person. I've never prayed in my life, but I prayed for the first time. I said, God, I need to see somebody I know. Please send me somebody I know. And I was standing by the highway for maybe 5 minutes when a van pulled up. Guy opened the door. He had these silver sunglasses, you know, that you can't see through. He took the sunglasses off, and it was my piano teacher from Manhattan School of Music, where I graduated from. Yeah. Amazing, right?
Mark, what do you think that's about? Where do you, what, is it a funny universe? Is it a coincidence? How do you make sense of that?
In all these years, I still haven't made any sense of it. He was an amateur mountain climber. He just flew into Calgary with his family, just rented that van, and just passed me by. I don't know what to make of it after all these years.
Well, you see, that's the thing. I don't either. But I believe it happened, and it was supposed to happen.
Sure. But then you would think that I would have prayed again after that, but I think it scared me.
<You know>? Beware of what you pray for. It might come true.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Use it sparingly. That's wonderful, Mike.
What have you done with your music training since then?
Oh, well, I'm a composer, and I play lots of instruments. I'm on about 30 CDs, and I've traveled around the world. I've worked at Abbey Road Studios. I've done all sorts of things.
Wow, you sound like somebody I'd like to meet. No. I'm not trying to make out or anything.
No, that's fine. If you have my phone number, you can call me, and I'd be happy to talk to you.
You live in the city?
No, I live outside of Woodstock, New York.
Oh, no. It's got to be somebody New York resident only.
Sorry, my dear. No,
thank you so much, Mark. Appreciate
Thanks for the
call.
Story. That was great.
All right. We have Wilson on line two. Welcome to the show, Wilson.
Hey, how are you, Andrea? What's going on?
Oh, no, it's Mr. 7 Second Delay.
It is. Thank you. Yeah, Quinn is in the other room with the baby. Otherwise, she would tell this story, but I think I can manage to relate it.
How's baby Charlie?
Charlie's great. He's so fat. It's just unbelievable. His cheeks are like dripping off his face.
I will like every photo forever. That's the rule I make for good babies.
Okay, it's hard not to, right? Because if you don't like it, there's something wrong with you.
How old is this munchkin?
He's only 3 months, but there's just, he has begun to assume personhood.
Isn't it incredible how quickly they do have personhood, and you can predict their behaviors? And of course, they can predict yours.
You do get used to some stuff, but then they really like turning that on its head right away, pretty much.
Yeah.
As soon as you pick up on a rhythm, it just disappears or changes completely.
Okay, so tell us your story of incredible coincidence.
So this is significantly less profound than the previous story, but I think it's an example of the same kind of thing. And I don't know, I'm not going to go fishing for meaning after, I don't know. But we were making a 7-layer dip, one of those like Fritos, lettuce, Doritos, sour cream, guacamole, beans, crazy dip.
I call it an exercise of
futility. So we were making this huge dip to take over to a friend's Super Bowl party. And, you know, I make up weird songs when I'm doing stuff. We're making the dip, and I called it a spivey. This is a spivey. We're making a spivey. It's lively. I don't know what I was saying. So Quinn, my lovely wife, comes running in and said, "What did you call that?" I said, "Spivey." She said, "No way." Because the only other time that she'd had that same dish was as a child at her neighbor's, the Spiveys, decades before we met.
Oh.
Period.
What is that? You don't want to give it big meaning, but what do you think it means?
I don't know. I don't think it has any direct meaning on my life. I think it touches on what you were saying earlier, which is there's some sort of mathematical probability happening here. Like, for instance, you think you have a unique birthday, but if you really look into it, having the same birthday as someone in the same room as you, or especially in the same building as you, is extremely frequent. So things like that, it just seems like there's some mathematical variance
And if you make up a word every couple of weeks, eventually you'd make up a word that had
Quinn is nursing the baby. She has an opinion. I'm passing off the phone. Lovely to speak with you.
You too.
Thank you.
I love your show. Here's Quinn.
Miss 7 Second Delay, welcome to YOY.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Mrs. 7 Second Delay.
So I think what it has to do with is, you know, people have weird brains that remember little things for no reason. Like, I'm sure, like, at one point a long time ago, I was talking to Wilson, and people that are married or been together for a long time tell pretty much anything that's ever happened to them at some point, because you run out of stories to tell. So I figure I must have at some point said, oh, man, I wish I had one of those 7-layer dips. I used to eat them at Spivey's house when I was a kid. And, you know, somehow it gets filed away in his brain, and then surfaces when he sees a 7-layer dip again. I think that's all it is.
Yeah. It's just like you have these deep filing cabinets and you don't really know what's in there sometimes.
Yeah, there's nothing romantic about it, really. Well, in this case, especially. Do you hear Charlie?
Oh, yeah, I hear him.
Grandma, do you have any advice for a new mom?
Do I have any advice for a new mom? Do you get a night's sleep?
Yeah, we are, but everyone says don't tell anybody that.
Oh, my daughter didn't give me a night's sleep until the second one was born. So I always say if you can get a good night's sleep, you can just about tolerate any of the stuff that goes on during the day.
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate so far.
And the other thing, of course, you probably know is that when it takes a nap, if you need a nap, you take one, except I know probably that's when you try to get a little housework done or a little cooking done, or if you're doing anything professional, you're going to run and do that while the kid is snoozing away.
Right, or catch up on Gilmore Girls on my
and just remember all the wonderful, think about all the wonderful things that you're going to be seeing when he starts to crawl and when he really, really recognizes you and will respond to some words and sounds. And you really want to watch that, actually. You probably know now whether he can hear or not, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Because, well, I taught deaf children, but that's a whole other story.
Are you calling Charlie deaf?
No. Because I had young deaf parents, when they had their babies, they brought them to my school so that I could tell them whether their baby was deaf or not, because they couldn't tell. But that's another kind of thing, those are stories for another day. Enjoy every stage of this kid's life.
And thank you. I am already.
I know it's very exciting.
Okay, thank you so much for the call. That was a great story. A plus.
You're welcome.
Bye.
See
ya. All right. Joining us now from Mount Cisco is Scott. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Do you have a story of the supernatural that you'd like to share with me and my grandma Phyllis here on YOY?
Yes, I do. This was back in the 70s. I was in grad school, and I met my Zen teacher at that time. And weird things always happened around him. But I would drive out there, you know, like once or twice a month to talk to him about my practice. And we were talking one day. We were having herbal tea, and he was talking about how everything's connected. You know, that it's our arrogance that dices up the world into these separate objects, but they're really all connected. And I remember thinking at the time, well, what about the moon? You know, how is that connected? You know, with our teacups or et cetera. And then I thought about the stars, and I got hung up on this. I couldn't remember the name of the nearest star. And this was bothering me because I was drawing a blank. I figured I should know it because I was a physics major. Mm-hmm. And so in the middle of this, he stops. He picks up his teacup, and he says, "This cup is connected with Alpha Centauri."
Yep.
Well, that's it.
And that's the nearest star.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, wait, hold on. Let me hit my drama button.
She's got all these wonderful sound effects.
That's incredible, Scott. What do you think that's about?
I think he was just connected, you know. I think people like that, they don't see a difference between them or separation between them and others. I mean, he was always seemed to be, you know, knowing what I was thinking or doing. I think it's, you know, it's just there in a different place.
Thank you so much for the call. I'm so glad you shared that.
Hey, thank you.
All right. We're taking your calls at 201-209-9368. We want to hear stories of your supernatural experiences. This is YOY, and I'm joined by my grandma, Phyllis. I know you have one more important story that I want to be sure to get to. But,
Which one?
It's the one about the paper that you found in a desk.
Oh,
but
oh,
I'm
going
to make
one.
You hold on to it for
okay,
just a second.
Okay, yeah.
So I have an experiment I want to try.
On me?
Just on all of us.
Oh, okay.
So last week on the playlist page, I got a comment, and I can't tell if it's a real person or spam. But do you know what I mean when I say spam? It could be just
not
like
the stuff that comes in the can.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just like junk mail.
Yeah.
So the commenter said, I was with a guy for 3 years, and he always told me he loved me and that we wouldn't break up because if you love someone, you make it work. We could never work out a time when we were both free. And just a couple days ago, he said we should just be friends. I know he didn't love me anymore. When we were dating, he said to everyone that I was his girlfriend and introduced me and told his friends that he really liked me and told me that he loved me. I wanted to be with him again. But I never know what to do. I tried for a long time with other spellcasters to get him back, but only Dr. Marnish at Yahoo.com was the spellcaster that could do it. He could do the love spell that worked. If you need help, call him at this number and he will always come to your aid. Obviously, Dr. Marnish is the real deal. Should I call this phone number?
Why not? That reminds me of the story that you taped mm-hmm. when I went to see a psychic.
Yeah.
Try that one. I suspect it's a large baloney, but I don't know. What the heck?
Okay, let's try this again.
Okay. Am I supposed to keep talking or something?
Yeah, I need to keep talking while I do that.
Okay, I need to keep talking.
Who would we put a love cast on? Love spell on?
Me.
Okay.
I'm ready for another one. So what's happening?
I need you to talk. I need to talk? Well, I figure out the thing.
Oh, okay. As I had said before, people wondered how I could have cared for somebody the second time, and they worried that he, being that bit older than me, that I would wind up taking care of a sick old man. And I said, well, you know what? I'll take my chances. So while we were still going with each other,
yeah,
I was in Paris. I fell. I had a terrible accident, had to be shipped home. This man took care of me.
I know. Hold on a second.
If you'd like to make a call.
Oh, boo. Dr. Marnish might not be real.
Maybe not. And you're striking out like Andy did before with that telephone. Okay.
I'm not striking out as bad as Andy attended
that
tonight.
No, that was really a problem.
Yeah, no, they got an idea in their head that was going to be difficult to realize. Okay, we're trying it one more way.
Okay, we're trying it one more time. All right. But basically, while it's ringing, I would say that my thesis is, as long as you're alive and walking, you're able to love and be loved, and you should go for it. Nobody should be alone if they don't want to be.
503.
Do you want to leave a message for Dr. Marnish?
930. Please leave your message after the tone.
Is this the love doctor? I need your help. But I can't give you my telephone number over the air. You'll have to try to contact me through WFMU radio if you want publicity and notoriety, and if this isn't one big fraud.
All right, Dr. Marnish, we need a love spell. Send an email to Andrea at freemusicarchive.org. Maybe that'll work. We'll find out.
Yes, we will indeed.
But let's just try our own love spell for you. I think you have to send an intention out into the world.
Well, actually, I did, didn't I? When I went on that dating site.
Yeah.
There was an interesting thing that happened some years later. Saul and I were married for 8 years. We fooled around for one. And then, sadly, he died in 07. I think it was 07, wasn't it? I'm not good on dates anymore. And I continued my life, and it's been still a fulfilling one. One day I was sitting at my desk, and I needed some scrap paper. And as everybody who has a computer and a printer knows, some of the stuff comes out and the paper is only usable for scrap. So I reached into the drawer, my scrap drawer, and pulled out a piece of paper, and I started to write whatever my shopping list probably. And just for the heck of it, I turned the page over to see what was on it, because it was like a full page of print.
Uh-oh, the love doctor's calling back.
Oh!
Hi, you're on the radio.
Yeah?
I don't think I have a good signal in here. Is this Dr. Marnish?
Hello?
Hi, is this Dr. Marnish?
Oh.
Uh-oh, that did not work.
We lost the doc. Maybe he'll call back. Well, anyhow, I turned the piece of paper over, and on it was a picture and the full bio and story of Saul, which I had never, ever seen because he had contacted me via the computer. I never went back to that dating site or anything. I never saw this piece of paper. And 3 years after the fact, it's in my junk drawer.
Hi, you're on the radio.
Wow, this is Dr. Marnish.
I think we're in need of a love spell.
Okay, so how do I help you?
Well, my grandma... Here, I'm going to hand you over to my grandma, Phyllis.
Oh. I'm Andrea's grandmother. I am twice widowed, and I live in New York City. And Andrea got a message last week on her radio show from somebody promoting you as having the best love spells out there. And I would just love to meet a nice person to accompany me in the city to the different venues that I go to. I would like to be on somebody's arm and have somebody special caring for me.
All right. Okay. Can you send me a text message, please?
I'm sorry,
A text message. He's interested in text messages.
Oh, okay.
Messages.
Yeah, well, Andrea... the radio hostess of this show, she will send you a text message, and I hope you reply.
What needs to be in the text message?
What needs to be in the text message?
I want you to send me your email address.
Okay, I will send you an email address.
Where is he based?
All right. So once I get your email address...
How long has he been doing spells?
Here.
How much does it cost? How long have you been doing spells? What's your background?
I've been doing spells for the past 10 years. So I'm not new to it, okay? So it's something I do every day. So please text me your email address. I'll tell you everything you need to know, okay?
I just need to know a little bit more about your qualifications before we can make this work.
I'm telling you, text me your email address, then I will reply you. I'll send you a mail and I'll tell you everything you need to know about my spell, okay?
Okay, thank you.
We'll text you.
Thank you, Dr. Marnish.
I am not giving out my email address.
Yeah.
We might text him,
I just don't know how many bitcoins this is going to cost us.
What's a bitcoin?
I don't know. also known as fairy dust. Joining us is Daniel in Montclair. Welcome to YOY.
Hi, it's wonderful to be on the show. I have a story about a supernatural event.
Do yes. tell.
So, a number of years ago, I finished school in Wisconsin. I was moving to Philadelphia to go to rabbinical school. I didn't know anybody, and somebody said, oh, you could, there's an extra room in our house, and you could stay there while you're looking for an apartment. And I lived there for just a couple of weeks, and then I found an apartment. But a few years later, I met a young woman, I fell in love, and I said to her, oh, I want to show you the house that I moved into the very first time, first day I got to Philadelphia. So I drove out of the city to where this house was in Mount Airy, and I drove by the house, and I said, okay, see that house? That's the house that I first stayed in when I came to Philadelphia. And she was just shocked. Her whole face lost its color, and she just said, that's the house that I grew up in when I was a little girl.
Oh, wow. What?
And we've been married now for 19 years. We have three wonderful children. But there's something about that moment that I just can't explain.
Well, and you're a rabbi, and you're supposed to talk about God. What do you think God had to say about
well,
this?
Rabbis don't talk about God all the time. We talk about, you know, stuff that matters in people's lives.
I think I do know that. I've been a Jew for 84 years.
So you know. I don't have to tell you.
So you hold on to that story, but like if you had to come up with what it's about, how would you explain it to someone? If you had to decide right now, what does it all mean?
That's a good question. I mean, I kind of think that it all means that even though I think that the world is a beautiful random mess, some things are meant to be, and the way that we talk about that Jewish terms is beshert, like it was something that was intended.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that's how I feel about some of these things. Like, I would call them supernatural because I can't really explain them with science and logic and a bunch of other things. But a lot of random events happened, and they linked up, and that was one of them.
Oh, this is absolutely perfect that you called at this moment, and I thank you, Rabbi. Are you still being a rabbi?
Yes, I am, and I wish you a lot of luck with your love connection.
Where are you? You still in the Philly area?
No, I live in Montclair, New Jersey.
Uh-huh. Well, what you just said is the perfect conclusion for the hour, and it is just almost the hour.
Thank you so much for your call,
Daniel. Thank you so much.
It was my pleasure. I love your show. Keep going.
Thank you so much. I love that word, beshert. It's like always meant, I mean, tell me about the history of that word to you and kind of try to define it for me.
Meant to be. They say that about men and women. And in hindsight, I could tell you that when I was 9 years old, I met this funny looking kid with the curly hair and the broken blackened front teeth. And I knew that was my fate, and I fought against that fate, against that guy, for a lot of years until I married him when I was 22 and he was 23.
Yeah.
It's something you know. It's somebody you know. It's sometimes you can be in a room full of strangers and meet one person, and there's a sudden connection. And that'll be a friendship that'll be yours for 50 years. And it's just beshert, meant to be.
Well, you know that this has been a dating show. You know, a lot of YOY is me talking about dating with people. And I actually have had that question in my head recently, which is, you know, can two people be meant to be?
Like, yes. Yes.
The divorce rate's 50%.
Yeah.
And or more. You know, like, were my parents, who are now divorced, were they meant to be? How do you understand meant to be in a world with that being the truth?
Well, I can't explain your parents.
but like, so like single people and like people in my position where you're single and you're looking at all these people in your life and you're like, is this person, are we meant to be? But when you meet someone, you're on an OkCupid date and you're sitting down, you're having coffee. If they don't happen to say we're off like a herd of turtles, what else do you have to go on to know that that's meant to be, and who's making that be? And it's just very confusing.
Sadly, I cannot answer that, because there was all those years when I dated both other guys when I was in college and all that, I always knew he was there, and he was always the one I compared people to. Because I loved him before I was in love with him.
Yeah.
Maybe that's part of it. And maybe, I don't know. Sometimes you really have to work at marriage. Even if somebody is your bechert, on a day-to-day basis, they may do something that irritates you, and you may do something that irritates them.
It's like, I just think in a world where it's so hard to know what's right for you, we have to cling to these weird coincidences and have them help tell our story. We need something to give something significance, and I feel like that's where these stories come in for me.
Could be.
It's that it'd be easier to make decisions if I felt like it was a sign from our funny universe.
On the other hand, in many other ways, other than romance, sometimes you have to go with the flow. What do you think the likelihood was that I would ever make this friend in Malaysia?
I don't know. I saw you talk to like five people on the train on the way here. You're just always out trying to make friends.
No,
you just
I only talked to that one girl.
Okay.
And she said how lucky I was the guy gave me a seat, because when she was pregnant, nobody gave her a seat.
But she could have turned out to be your best friend. And when you happened to sit down next to your...
But this also, it's what you give out into the world, the vibrations you give to the world, whether you're open to it or not.
Yeah.
I could have just said, yes, you're at the right bus stop to that woman.
Yeah.
Instead of having an international friendship and at my age traveling off to Asia and having the adventures I had, and that should be a metaphor for life. Go with it.
Yeah.
Go with it.
Yeah, I love that.
Take a chance.
That's it for today's show. Take a chance. Go with it. Thank you so much, Grandma Phyllis. I've loved having you on the show.
As usual, I love being here with you. Because the more I'm with you, the more I know about you. And you're just so wonderful.
You're the best grandma ever. We're going to have you back real soon.
Okay.
This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, and online at WFMU.org. Stay tuned for Dave Emery.
Hi, Dave Emery here. This is Side 1, For the Record, program number 781. All's well that's Orwell. The Ministry of Truth and the Ukrainian Crisis, subtitled Yushchenko Uber Alles. This has been recorded on March 14th of the year 2014. We have a lot to talk about, and necessarily, as is so often the case, the arguments presented on this program, really the documentation, will be best understood and grasped when taken in the context of the other material that I've done on this program, on the subject, I should say. For the record, programs 777-778 present background on the OUNB, the Ukrainian fascist organization allied with the Third Reich, having staffed SS formations and having participated in the Einsatzgruppen and the mobile killing squads that liquidated Jews and Poles and other enemies of the, quote, Aryan race on behalf of the Third Reich. They then jumped to Western intelligence, CIA in particular, at the end of the war, continuing guerrilla warfare that they had begun under the Wehrmacht, under the German high command, up until the early 1950s. The OUNB then morphed into a key part of the Republican Party's ethnic outreach organization. It participated in the assassination of President Kennedy, who was looking to defuse Cold War tensions with the former Soviet Union. They were deeply involved in the destabilization of the former Soviet Union and Eastern Europe. And as we looked at in, for the record, 778, and as we came back to in 779, when Viktor Yushchenko was elected president of the Ukraine, or came to power through the so-called Orange Revolution, a woman formerly named Ekaterina Chumachenko was his wife. Ekaterina Chumachenko was a key member of the top OUNB front organization in the United States, that is called the UCCA. Perhaps more to the point, she was Ronald Reagan's Deputy Director of Public Liaison. She then became the First Lady of the Ukraine under Yushchenko, and I strongly suspect that she was the real whip hand, sort of the Lucretia Borgia of the Ukraine. Mr. Yushchenko was poisoned under somewhat ambiguous circumstances. The poisoning was blamed on the Russians. I've got my doubts. There's no definitive information. Knowing how the OUNB and its allies operated, and they were into the BND, which controlled elements of OUNB, appears to have murdered, or Underground Reich and BND, appears to have murdered Stefan Bandera, the head of the OUNB, then blamed it on the Soviet Union and the KGB, and then that in turn was linked to the alleged KGB assassin Lee Harvey Oswald and his supposed murder of President Kennedy. I have a hunch that in keeping with OUNB cynical and Third Reich cynical methodology, that actually it was some of his allies who poisoned Mr. Yushchenko, who then became a disfigured living martyr. I suspect that the former Ekaterina Chumachenko, now Ekaterina Yushchenko, was the real power behind the throne, again, sort of the Lucretia Borgia of the Ukraine. In matters of this kind, one always wants to look at the man behind the curtain, or in this case, the woman behind the curtain. Shortly before he left office, Mr. Yushchenko, as we looked at in a number of programs, Mr. Yushchenko named Stefan Bandera, the murdered former head of the OUNB and an overt ally of the Third Reich. He was named a hero of the Ukraine, as was Roman Stukhevich, the head of the UPA, that was the military wing of the OUNB, and more to the point, Mr. Shukievich was also the head of the Einsatzgruppe Nachtgau, or the Nachtgau Battalion. That was the Einsatzgruppe that liquidated the Jewish and part of the Polish population of the city of Lvov in World War II. A city in the Lvov district has been renamed Nachtgau after the Nachtgau Battalion. Those acts of historical revisionism are absolutely representative of what the Yushchenko regime was all about. What we are going to be looking at in this program, it will dominate the broadcast, time permitting. We will cover some of the other relevant developments in the Ukraine. Never lose sight, by the way, in passing, of the fact that Ukraine has a quarter of all of the world's proven natural gas reserves. That makes it an enormous Economic Prize, and I will bet you dollars to donuts that that has a whole lot more to do with what's going on there than anything having to do with, quote, democracy, unquote, because as we have seen and as we are going to see big time, democracy, unquote, has nothing whatsoever to do with the forces that are holding sway in the Ukraine. President Yanukovych, although by all accounts both corrupt and manifestly incompetent, was actually a democratically elected head of state, and he was turned out in a violent coup d'etat. You're looking at, in this program, the Yushchenko regime engaged in an absolutely literal Orwellian remaking of history. When I use the term the Ministry of Truth from Orwell's 1984, that is absolutely substantively relevant here, because Yushchenko set up a bureau to systematically remake the past of the Ukraine and to use demonization of the former Soviet Union and resistance to the former Soviet Union, basically anti-communism, as an ideological and political pivot point, so to speak, to remake the OUNB, again, an explicitly fascist organization involved with staffing SS units such as the 14th Waffen-SS or Galician Division and various Einsatzgruppen, that has been remade into an heroic organization. I have never seen a more literal application of Orwellian principles here.